Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Schedule flex.
What's this?
Not a major thing. Not a major thing, but schedule flex. They're all major. There's no small schedule flex. Week 6. They're taking New England at New Orleans, which for some reason was a 425 game, moving it to 1, and replacing it with San Francisco at Tampa, which now becomes a 425 game. Much better.
I support this choice.
Me too.
Yes.
The Bills are off that day with the Monday night game, so this could affect us. Our plans, it's time to...
Yes.
You can't get too far ahead of it. Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Eric Wood, who is still in town. Tonight is Eric's charity event. And so I'm wondering if that enabled you to watch more football after the Bills game yesterday, but you also probably watch games on the plane or when you get home. I don't know.
Yeah, if I'm traveling, I'm always watching the games. And obviously that game at 425, a big one with Kansas City and Baltimore, and then tune in for the late game last night as well.
You make it to the end? 40-40?
I didn't. I went to bed and couldn't believe that it ended up a tie.
Yeah, same here. I could not. 30-27 maybe I conked out, if that even was a score. Whatever. It was fourth quarter. I'm like, I'm out. And then I don't know, 5 in the morning I woke up and looked to see like what happened. I'm like, I barely awake squinting at my iPad. 40-40? What?
I don't know what's wrong with me, but I got up super early yesterday. My wife was traveling. My son had lacrosse practice at 8, and I had to get him there. So, I mean, not before dawn, but early for me. And yet, at the end of that game, 5 quarters, well, it's 10 minutes, but still the end of overtime, I was so mad it was over. I mean, I just...
You probably had big fantasy football implications on it.
I mean, good and bad. I don't have a lot of Jacobs, actually, but yes. Yes, I was so enjoying
the amount of action you've got going. It's almost unavoidable that there will be good and bad.
That's right.
with 150 teams, you're watching every game and not likely knowing who to even root for.
It's about double that. But you're right. I mean, the point has been made. We're rooting against Waddle tonight as it happens. Okay, before we get away from it, tell us about what you've got tonight. It's been several years now for this event. And is there still time for people to get to it or what?
No, it's sold out. So tonight we have our annual Flights and Bites, which I say sold out. Would love for, you know, people to support and come in the future, but the popularity of it has grown over the years, and it's always a great time raising money for Oshad Children's Hospital. It used to be the Eric Wood Foundation. I renamed it the Evan Wood Fund under Oshad Children's Hospital, named after my brother, Evan, who passed away when he was 11. He was born with severe cerebral palsy. So we give back to families that have children at Oshad and try to provide them incredible experiences like going to Bill's game in a suite, providing financial assistance, and then other types of events throughout the year.
Wonderful.
Excellent. And this is at, not that it matters, but we should promote it because they're hosting your event. It's at Resurgence, correct?
It is. Yeah, we'll give Resurgence a plug. I almost didn't plug it in case, you know, you could get some walk-ups or, but no, give Resurgence a shout out. They're extremely generous with letting us have our event there. Had an incredible meal today with a bunch of out-of-town guests that support at Sunny Reds here in town, and it's been a good day.
All right, excellent. And this is not that this is the reason people need to come to the event or that tickets are sold out, but it's the one night a year that Sal Capaccio gets to play the drums, usually.
Sal plays the drums. A younger, maybe less mature Josh Allen is singing with the band. I generally always sing with the band. It's a fun night, and anytime you can have a bunch of fun, connect with incredible people, and then raise a bunch of money for a great cause, that's pretty much an ideal night for me at this stage of life.
Awesome.
Very cool. So yesterday, some fans will say that maybe the Bills look past New Orleans. I don't want to have the whole trap game conversation because that's all been blown up, and I'm not saying they were looking ahead to New England. Just, you know, the, such a big favorite, Eric. And I wonder, like, because I kind of think that just does not happen. You guys are, all, maybe not everybody on every team, but so disciplined and, you know, setting your routines and whatnot. You know who you're playing. You're prepared for them. But would you ever walk through that tunnel and feel like, ah, this is going to be easy? I mean, I can't imagine it. So what do you say to people who, I'm not sure I'm right, I'm asking. What do you say to fans who might think, well, the Bills probably were just, you know, they took the game lightly?
I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, obviously there's going to be some games that get you up more maybe emotionally than others. Maybe it's a guy that you absolutely hate and you're going against him that day. Maybe it's a AFC championship game for these guys now where emotionally you're almost saying, I need to reel it back in and not go over and above to either wear myself out or do something stupid out there. Generally, each and every week, you know, I would maybe compare this to, okay, we're eliminated from the playoffs during my career because we were never a 2-touchdown favorite when I was playing for the Bills. So maybe it's a late game of the season. I'm looking at the film during the week. These are NFL guys. They can embarrass me. They could potentially ruin my job if I don't prepare and play to the best of my ability. And so I would assume that most of the players are of that mindset. The coaches are coaching each and every week to put their best foot forward to, you know, Joe Brady doesn't call that 4th-and-1 play thinking, oh, I'm going to put this on film so that the Patriots have to prepare for it. And later in the season, we'll just go with the tush push or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. You know, they're giving their best stuff each and every week. Now, I do think there's times maybe where you're playing with a 2-touchdown league and you keep some stuff in the bag, or defensively, maybe we show them a pressure that maybe is not that sound. This is an old New England thing. If they were ever up 2 scores late in the game, they would put stuff on film defensively that then you have to prepare for, but it's not really part of their game plan. They're just giving you stuff that now it complicates your next week as you prepare for them. So I think more of that happens in game as where you'd say, okay, maybe we don't show them everything. But look, when you only play 17 NFL games, every game matters. Every team has talent. Every team is playing for something. Even if you're eliminated from the playoffs, all the players are playing for their jobs. All the coaches are coaching for their jobs. And so I don't, you know, trap games to me are a little bit overblown just in the sense, especially in the NFL, because every team has talent.
Right.
You know, that 4th-and-1 play, I don't know what you thought of that choice, but it was so close to working. Like if Vandermark tripped on Osiris Torrance's leg and stumbled toward the guy he was supposed to wall off, if he doesn't trip, he's there in plenty of time. It's possible that guy still kicks his ass and makes the play anyway, I suppose. But I think if he gets there upright, like ready to tango, that play might go for a big gain. It's certainly the first down easily.
Yeah, I mean, when you call a play like that on 4th-and-1, that's not a, hey, let's get 2 yards type of play. This is a, on 4th-and-1, and oftentimes in 3rd-and-1 situations, you have plays like a quarterback sneak or a dive up the middle, which is a, let's get this first down, and then you have other plays in the game plan that are chunk plays. You know, the safeties are cheated down. People are selling out to defend, you know, an inside run or a quarterback sneak, and so you have a play that you can really chunk them with, and I think that's what they were doing there. I mean, I heard Adrian Peterson talk about when he had his 2,000-yard rushing season about 3rd-and-1s and 4th-and-1s were his favorite because those are when the big plays can happen because the safeties are so low, they can't necessarily take an angle on you if you can break through that second level.
Makes sense. So what else on yesterday for you? Another one of these games where there's not a lot of, you know, big passing volume. It's not really necessary like the week before. Bills have had plenty of these games, but efficiency-wise, seems pretty good. We'll get to the defense here, but offensively, anything that you thought was, you know, maybe that you didn't like?
Yeah, I thought they had a great start, and then they hit somewhat of a lull where, you know, either it was field position or penalties or Josh throws a pick or you put yourself behind the chains and then you give up three sacks. You know, obviously this isn't, I can't remember the last time the Bills gave up three sacks in a game. I don't know this for a fact, but it might've been the game at Baltimore last year where they're playing from behind. But, you know, to me, they've just been so good up front. And to me, you know, you don't have your best stuff. You have bad field position for a majority of the game. The only turnover the defense forces in the game, you get the ball at your own 1 yard line, and they still put up 31 points. And to me, it's just, it's amazing that this team, maybe on their not best day, is still putting up over 30 a clip. And then each and every week, I become more impressed with James Cook. I legitimately think he's a top, if you let me choose a running back in the NFL right now, I don't know. I mean, maybe Saquon. I don't know who I'm necessarily taking over him. And I mean, he is playing phenomenal football week in and week out. And just, he takes a lot of pressure off, you know, Josh having to perform each week for them to be able to put up serious numbers. And, you know, while the defense has had its struggles, you've been able to rely on a run game to average over 30 yards a game.
Yeah. Are you worried at all about his usage, Cook? It is up from last year. Like, a big part of the conversation around the contract extension that we spent so much time on in the spring and summer here, Eric, was, you know, how much he plays, how much they count on him, and how much they like doling out the backfield duties the way they have been. And really, Davis is a ghost. I mean, Johnson is still in his regular role as the third down guy. Didn't get a lot of volume yesterday, like touching the ball, I mean. But Davis is really, really down. I just wonder about Cook because he's not the biggest, you know, heaviest dude. And I would want to be very mindful of his workload.
Yeah, it's kind of that give and take where, you know, you use him to take pressure off Josh, and that also takes a lot of the risk on Josh potentially getting nicked up throughout the season because you're not running him as much. You're not relying on him to drop back and have these long developing plays down the field and potentially him getting dinged up. But, you know, to me, he does a good job of not taking the big shots. I wouldn't put him on LeSean McCoy's level where I felt like Shady never took a big hit ever in his career. He just had an incredible knack for getting down when he needed to and then making a guy miss and lowering his shoulder when it was appropriate. And James has got a lot of that in him. But no, I'm with you. I mean, any time that you're feeding a running back with the volume that they are, there's a risk. The adage is about running backs falling off a cliff because of overusage is real for a reason. It happens. But I'm not overly concerned about it right now, I guess, is my main point.
Okay. You were correct in your comment that the Ravens loss last year is the last game where Allen was sacked three times. Yeah, very good. His career high is, I think, 7. That's hard to believe, but yeah. He was sacked 7 times in the playoff win over the Dolphins that day, the Skylar Thompson game. Defensively, Eric, so fans can take, and the Bills themselves can take solace in the players that are missing, including those we haven't seen yet. But, man, if that doesn't help them, I don't know, 31st in the league in rushing yards against, first in passing, 31st in rushing, you've got that balance to talk about here as we have over the years, you know, passing being more important, but still, like, you don't want to be 31st in anything. Concerned?
There are some concerns, and we came into yesterday's game 32nd and we gave up another 180 something. So who dropped behind us? You know,
I think it's Chicago, but I'll double check.
Wow. I would have bet against that today. I would have assumed we would have remained 32nd after yesterday, but
Genty lit him up.
There are some concerns. Now you take in the opponents you faced, and you know Baltimore is going to tack on yards on most people. Miami runs the football pretty well. Jets run, you know, the prior week to playing us, the Jets ran all over the Steelers, and so are there some concerns? Yes, I think those young defensive tackles where they've made splash plays at time, they're getting displaced. You know, you have Dorian Williams in for Matt Milano, and I think Dorian Williams plays really well at times. He's not the same quality player as Matt Milano. And then at times you've seen Bosa lose the edge. And I talked on One Bills Live earlier today about how at times you're not that concerned about that because you want Bosa to play free out there and go make plays. And yes, he made the wrong decision going inside on a long run yesterday, but if he never does stuff like that, he's never going to make the splash plays. He's not going to put pressure on the quarterback like we've seen him do it throughout his career. And so you have safeties that are learning still to play with each other. There's a lot of excuses you can make for this defense, but the tackling's been poor, and it was poor for the Saints yesterday too. These guys don't play a lot in the preseason. They don't have any padded practices. They don't tackle hardly at all ever at practice and training camp. And we've seen tackling be an issue for this Bills team and throughout the league, you know, since Sean McDermott's been here because of these lack of physical practices that we used to have in the old days. And I was joking with Steve Tasker, like, I understand you guys were a lot tougher in training camp than us, but it's just gotten so light now that you're seeing tackling issues early in the season. This Bills defense, I don't want to say they're built for finesse, but they are a faster, kind of lighter defense. So I've liked what they've done at times this year, bringing base defense on the field more often.
Yeah.
I've liked some of the packages with Walker and Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver's absence, where you put some more size out there, you know, and get more of a stout inside of that defense. But the rush defense has been a concern for a few years now, and it's remained. Now, teams, and I don't know if it's a give and take either, where if you put up 30 points a game and a team's going to dedicate themselves to the run game, they're likely not going to be able to keep pace with you. And so, yes, it's a concern, but I don't think at this point it's not a concern to where I think it could derail our season.
Right. That's why it's always been smarter, I think, to prioritize. And I feel like I don't think Sean McDermott would tell you straight out they prioritize stopping the pass, but that's certainly how they've played. Over the years, right? I'm even thinking back to the beginning of this run, the home game during COVID against Kansas City, where they just go ahead, run it, whatever, you know. And that the Bills lost, that wasn't like an 8-point game in the fourth quarter. Like, the Bills were in that game tactically playing that way. That was their choice because KC at that time was so explosive. I mean, it was all, everything was popping at that time in the league. So, how about Bishop and the play he makes there, Eric? Have there been signs here? You're watching every game from up high, and I'm sure reviewing it too. Like, are there signs that he's starting to come to the forefront here?
The answer is yes. And, you know, that's a heck of a play, and that's a splash play. So that's what we talk about today. But I think he's making a number of plays a game that I'm getting more confidence in the fact that he could be a big-time safety in this league. And when he was drafted by the Bills, I'm friends with this position coach that he had at Utah. And, I mean, he gushed about Cole Bishop. You're going to have a 12-year superstar, stud, Harrison Smith type from the Vikings, that type of guy, super athletic, this and that. And, you know, had a rough year. And to me, even just his demeanor and some press conferences and media availability, just, you know, he just seemed like he didn't have his full confidence in himself. It's just what I was observing. And I feel like he's getting that back. And that comes from making plays on Sunday, seeing yourself on film, making plays consistently, staying healthy, like he's been able to do since, you know, the training camp time that he missed. And so, to me, I'm starting to see him play a lot more confident out there, and it's been fun to watch. And I mentioned it on the broadcast against the Jets on the Joey Bosa strip sack on the Justin Fields play. Cole Bishop comes down in the box. He's pointing and yelling to AJ Epenesa on the other side of the field that it's coming over to him. AJ Epenesa keeps his contain, and then Bosa forces the fumble. Well, Bosa gets credit for the sack and the fumble. We all praise him. Cole Bishop's the guy that's pointing it out before the snap. Your second-year inexperienced safety is pointing that out. So I've seen some more little things like that from him that that is continually impressing me.
How do you happen, if I may ask, to be friends with the Utah defensive backs coach? Is there a Louisville connection?
Yeah, he was a coach at Louisville.
Okay. You said you watched at least some of Ravens Chiefs. Really bad day for Baltimore. I mean, just injuries, but Jackson, and then he himself gets hurt. Can you explain it?
It's hard to explain other than the fact that it seems like the Chiefs have their number. Steve Spagnuolo's got a – I mean, each and every year it seems like, whether it's been playoffs or regular – they beat them at the last second last year in the opener of the season in Kansas City, but then seems like whether it's been playoff times or whatever it may be, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo's done a great job against that Ravens offense. And, you know, the Chiefs had looked like they were on cruise control, that's for sure, and – they turned it on yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was getting rid of the ball quicker, I felt like, and allowing guys to make plays in space. And it was an impressive performance by the Chiefs. And I had when we were on our way home from Sunny Reds, I had WGR on, and I just missed it. What did you guys say the playoff odds for the Ravens to make are?
Minus 500.
Right. So, I mean, 1-3 football team that through – 3.5 quarters against the Bills looked like an absolute juggernaut.
Yeah. But, and I guess the market is saying we still believe.
We still believe in you. Yeah. And they're still favored to win the division, too. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. And, you know, you got Cleveland. You have an injured Joe Burrow, which it helps that, I guess.
Well, one more team I think you'll join me in hoping we see great performances from in the very near future is the Cincinnati Reds. In the playoffs against the Dodgers. I have a Reds World Series ticket. This is a tough one to hedge, Bulldog. Like, what am I going to go do? Bet the Dodgers? Yeah. I mean, they're a huge favorite.
Yeah, that's,
anyway.
No, that's no fun.
I will bet on the Reds in game one, though, against Snell.
I love it. I'm just bitter, and I understand it. Like, in a three-game series, it's hard to go across the country, but it irks me that I'm not going to be able to go to a Reds season game. But I love Terry Francona after the game. Actually, Johnny Damon's in town, was in town for the Bills game yesterday. He'll be at our event tonight, and I was talking to him about Francona, and he's like, oh, because of Terry Francona, I'm now a Reds fan. Like, I am actively rooting for the Reds. That's how beloved, you know, he was with those Red Sox teams, and still stays in contact with all those guys. And when Francona came in this offseason, and I'm probably boring a whole bunch of people in Buffalo right now, or Western New York, but but when Francona came in this offseason, it signaled to me that they didn't get him out of retirement for the Castellinis to just sell off all their young talent like we've seen them do. And I'm excited that, you know, we didn't unload people at the deadline. We didn't make huge moves, but we didn't unload people at the deadline. And hopefully we can build this thing because they got some awesome young talent right now. And we'll see. In a three-game series, anything can happen. But, yes, the Dodgers are a big-time favorite.
Yeah, well, I was going to call you on your resignation here, not being able to see a Reds playoff game. You mean a wild-card round game, because after they beat the Dodgers, they will get home games, so you'll be able to go see them play.
There it is.
You're right. Bulldog, I like that mindset, brother.
Bulldog, are you still a Johnny Damon fan?
No, he went to the Yankees.
What about that team forever? I thought
no.
He broke the code.
He went to the Yankees. Okay. If he hadn't gone to the Yankees, I mean, please don't tell him this, Eric. But yeah, I mean, I loved him on the Red Sox. But you go put on those pinstripes and just get out of here.
He's a great dude. I met him at a Kentucky Derby when I was probably 25 or something, and we've stayed in contact. And he's got some buddies up here in Buffalo as well, in Western New York area. So really good dude. And oh, I love picking his brains on those old Red Sox stories.
Yeah, awesome.
He was talking at dinner on Saturday night about, we were talking about after they beat the Yankees to go to the World Series, and they all went in uniform and their spikes to the bar next to the stadium. And one of Johnny's buddies that plays in a band was playing there, and they're all going to go there anyways. And they said, screw it, let's just wear our uniforms and spikes and go right now. And they just went in uniform straight to the bar.
In New York.
Wasn't that – maybe I'm referring to a different series. They left one of their clinching games.
Okay.
From – there's that bar right outside of Fenway that you can look right
at. Yeah, the cask and flag on, yeah.
Yep, they walked right there and started drinking beers and partying.
Like that. Different if you did it on the road, but yes.
Yes, right.
Very good. Eric, enjoy your night. Thanks for today.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. There's Eric Wood on the Western Hotline, and his appearance is here every Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Sean McDermott speaking now, or just was. We'll talk to Sal about some of the news with the IR guys and different things about yesterday after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Monday continues on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Bills over the Saints yesterday to improve to 4-0, but it wasn't in a walk.
Ooh. Was it more of a crawl?
It was not.
It wasn't really a crawl.
It was not a blowout. But it was okay. Here's Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Sal, what did you think yesterday?
I thought it was a struggle at times, for sure. The game was very tight. Got a little too close for comfort, I think, for a lot of people. But at the same time, you know, I think that when you go into these games, you have to understand you know, the old adage, but it's true that, you know, these are NFL teams and players. They get paid, and, you know, you can't just expect to go into a game and, you know, it's not like your local Friday night high school game where it's a, you know, big school population against a real small school. That's not the way it works in the NFL. So all it takes is a few plays here or there, and you get the kind of game they had yesterday. And then at the end of the day, the Bills did enough to win. And I think actually, looking back on it, and reading the box score, I thought the numbers were a lot better than what it seemed when you were watching the game, actually.
Yeah, there's always a bit of a, a bit of a thought experiment, watching a game and how tense you are. Like, I realize I'm tense. I'm like, they're not behind. They've never been, like, what am I doing here? Why am I wound up? Of course they're going to win this game. Just cut it out. But it's not as easy as you'd like. You know, I'd like to hear you talk about your vantage point. I love asking you this. I hope you're prepared for it today, because you know often when there's a real special play in a game, I like to where were you for that? The Cole Bishop interception. I might guess you were very close to where that play happened.
Yeah, you know where I stand, right there at the pylon. Yep. So I mean, he caught it right in front of me. He intercepted right in front of me, and when the play first started, I'm looking in the backfield. I see that it's kind of like an end around. And then I saw the other player coming, and I'm like, oh, they're going to give it him. And then I see Spencer Rattler basically running right at me. Spencer Rattler's coming right at me the way he's running that route. So I'm seeing that. So I'm not even looking to my right at that point, which would be where Cole Bishop was. Ball is in the air. I knew Spencer Rattler was there. And as I turn, I just saw Cole Bishop just kind of fly out of nowhere right in front of everybody here and just go up and get it. And it was one of those moments where everybody around me, you kind of like had a, oh, like, wow, like, I can't believe he's there, right? That collective moment there, because I don't know if people were seeing him. You know, you can tell when an interception is going to happen if it's just like, oh, this is going to be close and, you know, who's going to get it. But he just jumped out of nowhere and, yeah, it was right in front of me. What I was impressed with in the moment was – that he held onto the ball getting up that high with one hand initially, right? Like, that was the first thing. And then you realize he came down in bounds, and then he got up and ran, which was interesting. I'm watching his feet. He's staying in bounds. Then later, going back and watching it, that's when you get impressed with, oh, he came from that spot and read it. Like, right. I mean, that's crazy. The athletic play to me was what really stood out, you know, to start it. But when he flashed in front of me, I think me and everybody kind of around that area – kind of didn't really see that, because we were all kind of focused on what the Saints were trying to do there.
You say that the numbers made the game feel better for you. A couple areas where I know you wouldn't say that would be 11 penalties, yeah, and the 189 rushing yards allowed. The Bills are now 1 yard off the league lead for most rushing yards allowed through 4 weeks, just behind Chicago. Can you rest easy about that, given the guys who are missing? or not?
No, I think it's got to improve, no doubt. I'm not going to sugarcoat that part of it, but I'll say that I do think guys missing is a part of it. I also think it's just kind of how the Bills are built a little bit, right? We've talked about this. They kind of make teams grind a little bit, and they're going to grind, and they're going to make you work a little bit for what you get, and then suddenly they come up with a big play. It's not that they want the teams, you know, they don't want teams to run for 180 yards against them. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that, you know, you look at the numbers in the pass game. They just really locked down in the passing game. And, okay, so they're not going to do that now. To me, playing a team like the Saints yesterday, they have less of a threat as a passing team because they have a young quarterback. So maybe they should have been more buttoned up and better against the run. I do think it will help tremendously to get both Ed Oliver and Matt Milano back. I think one guy is one thing, but when you start to pile this up and you have these, mm-hmm. both these guys who are in the middle of your defense, that can really, you know, add up there. What I was impressed with, and when I went back and looked, though, was the overall yardage. You know, yeah, whether you get it by running or passing, the Saints had less than 300 yards. They had 4.6 yards a play. It's a pretty low number in the NFL. They kept it to 19 points. So 11 penalties is a really tough number. A lot of self-inflicted stuff. I just thought that went hand in hand with what I felt was a lack of focus. And I don't know if you want, that's the word I'll use, preparedness, readiness for certain moments. Going a little up-tempo, you knew the Saints were going to do that. 10 men on the field, not getting substitutions. Those are things that you just, that's non-negotiable. Like, you can't have 10 men on a field. You can't be not ready when they're going up-tempo and you can't get your substitutions in. Now, Sean McDermott was upset a couple times. And one of the reasons he used a timeout, people were upset about timeouts, but he had to use a timeout. And one of the reasons was he felt the Saints actually subbed, so the Bills should have a chance to sub.
Right.
So that's fine. But I just thought that those are the things that you can't let happen, and that was happening to them.
Right. That's what he was upset about, Mike, when Bernard was hurt. When he went out on the field and was still yelling at the refs, it was just after that had happened. He had to burn that timeout, and on the broadcast they had said, like, he thinks he should have had a chance to sub, and he didn't get it, so that's why he's bending the ear of the referee.
I guess if you're a coach, you can just go out on the field now. Because you don't see ever that – no one ever says anything about that anymore, right? Like, maybe –
well, the referees, the officials will tell you to get back or whatever. But, I mean, he was pretty hot, no doubt. And I think when you're trying to get somebody's attention – but, yeah, I mean, how many times you see – a lot of times the sideline warning, maybe. We wouldn't even see that anymore.
No.
But, no, the Bills knew that the Saints would run up-tempo. They run more no-huddle than any team in the NFL. But the rule is – so everybody understands what's happening here. The rule is when the offensive team substitutes – that's when the referee stands and holds on the ball to make sure the defensive team has a chance to substitute. If the offensive team doesn't substitute, then they can just go. And McDermott felt the Saints subbed. And a lot of times, and what Eric Wood said, this is an old Patriots trick. He said when you get down in the red zone, they have kind of ways that they do it, and it's kind of sneaky, and they get guys on the field, and the officials don't see it, so they let them go. So I think McDermott was upset about that, and that's why he had to use a timeout.
Well, speaking of getting guys back, you know, like Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, what's the lowdown today? Because there's a lot, plus there's guys that are eligible to come off IR now beginning this week.
Yeah.
And you've got, right, is the practice window opening for the suspended guys too? So there's a lot of, not that that impacts the roster for now, it's still a couple of weeks away, but a lot of machinations may be happening.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with anything in the immediately. The punter, Cameron Johnson, he's dealing with a foot and ankle injury, and that was a pretty tough injury to watch, as you guys saw.
Yeah.
He's going to miss some time. They're going to sign a new punter at some point here. Sean McDermott said he's going to miss some time, and they'll work out punters. So they'll bring somebody in. They'll sign somebody. We'll see, you know, where that goes. That was tough. Good for him that he was able to – he actually went back in the game and helped.
Yeah, right.
You know? So good for him to do that. And after the game, we spoke to him, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said he felt good, but they're going to do more imaging, and obviously that led to that. I heard Zach, not to correct, and I don't know, I could have been wrong. I heard Zach say Cam Lewis. I think when he said Cam, he was referring to Cam Johnson, because I don't think there's anything with Cam Lewis, but I could be wrong, and I didn't get that. I was trying to figure it out right before I went on with you guys, but I don't think anything with Cam Lewis, but I could be wrong on that. I think he said Cameron and then Cam, meaning Johnson. But either way, I think that's all, because there's nothing else on anybody else during the game. Noteworthy injury-wise. Okay, so Maxwell Harrison, Tyler Bass, and even Tylon Grable, they are all eligible to start practicing this week. McDermott sounded as if, yeah, we're probably not going to do that yet, but he didn't say that. He basically said, you know, we'll see where it goes, and we'll evaluate everything, mm-hmm. and you know, he's got to talk with the trainers and those kinds of things. So we'll see how that goes going forward. As far as Oliver and Milano, day by day. Spencer Brown, too, day by day. We'll see on Wednesday if they're able to practice. This is kind of the same thing we've heard, though, for the last couple of weeks, especially on Milano, and they have not been out there. On the suspended players, so what I learned last week was, I believe, and that now not all suspensions are created equal, and this is why there's a little bit of ambiguity here, guys. So because it was halfway through their suspension, 3 weeks last week, that's when they were allowed to return to the facility. So Hoyt and Ogunjobi were back at the facility last week, but I don't believe they're allowed to practice until after the suspension is up, which is week six. So I don't think that's okay. The case. But as I said, all suspensions aren't created equal because I think Rashee Rice, his suspension is personal conduct. Their suspensions are PED, and I know Rice can't start practicing until then. So I just want to make sure and try to get more info on Wednesday on that.
Very good. Sal, thanks for your time today. We'll talk in a couple days.
All right, you got it. Thanks, guys.
There's Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
What is your outlet? Let's talk some more about this game.
Guitars. Guitars are my outlet. Nothing against outlet liquor. I like booze just fine, too.
You know whose outlet isn't Guinness? Greg Olson.
Right.
I was trying to think. So Greg Olson, the former tight end who was in the booth for Fox, he had the game in Ireland, and he said he had, on that trip, had a Guinness for the first time. And, you know, how was it? And he's like, I don't need another one. You know, I just felt like I'm in Ireland, I should have a Guinness. And so, like, it's not like everybody drinks beer or everybody has had a Guinness.
And, but
it's
and not everybody that likes to drink beer likes dark beer.
No, but you might have tried it.
Sure.
Because it's so popular and ever-present. Omnipresent Guinness. So I was trying to think, what's the thing in my life that everybody else has done or eaten or drank or whatever it is. Like I'm in the smallest minority of anything in life as somebody who has not done a thing.
Not having seen the Blues Brothers.
You're going to answer for me. Well, I'll tell you, I don't have an answer. Like, I couldn't really think of anything. Like, you never saw Forrest Gump.
I did eventually see it with the kids.
That's out then. But you know, movies, right? Like everybody might have a movie that everybody else has seen, but they never have.
For a long time, Forrest Gump was that for me. But when the kids were, I don't know, 10 and 12, we sat down and watched it one night.
I had a friend who claimed he'd never seen The Wizard of Oz. And I think that that's more amazing than any other movie would be.
I agree.
To have never seen The Wizard of Oz. But I mean, I've seen The Wizard of Oz. I've seen these movies. I don't know. It isn't a beer, I'm pretty sure, or a drink. I mean, I don't like every drink, but I've tried most things. Food, too. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I've hiked mountains. It's not something I do every day, but, like, I've been in the ocean.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, what's the thing that – I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. Because Greg Olson would be in the small percentage of people that had never tried again.
I think my Blues Brothers answer has got a chance.
Maybe. I've never had any desire to see it.
You're really missing out.
Am I still – it's 2025. Am I really missing out not having seen a movie that's like 50 years old?
I would just tell you, whether you hate the idea, can't stand Dan Aykroyd and or John Belushi, or have a Carrie Fisher problem, watch it just for the music. The musical performances in the movie are incredible.
Okay.
And not just them. Like there's John Lee Hooker is in there, and Ray Charles is in there, and Aretha Franklin is in there, and like it is just incredible.
I don't think I knew that.
It is. It's a piece of work. Really, really great.
Okay. Well, that's helping me. But then it'll be something else.
Yeah.
803-0550. Football Monday continues next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.